A Boris the Coach article. When everything feels urgent, the focus loop. Narrated by an automated voice. On Tuesday evening, a director I work with sat at her kitchen table and read me her list. 11 things. 2 she could decide herself in the next hour. 4 she could only influence. 3 were not hers at all. 2 were already happening, with or without her. Her voice was steady. Her eyes were not. The list was the easy part. The harder part was that she had been carrying every item with the same emotional weight, as if the whole pile were equally hers to move. By the end of the read-through, she had not actually decided anything. She had only become heavier. If you coach senior leaders, or if you are one, you know this scene. The week feels urgent in a way that has stopped being useful. Pressure no longer signals priority, it signals saturation. And the most common bit of advice for this state, focus on what you can control, turns out to be a half-truth that quietly makes the problem worse. Why focus on what you can control fail? The slogan sounds tough-minded. It is also incomplete in 3 ways that matter to anyone leading other adults. First, it slides into toxic positivity. Not every reality is changeable. Grief, illness, an unfair restructure, a market collapse, a board decision against you. Asking a person to reframe these into an opportunity to grow is not coaching. It is pressure to perform a private mood while the situation goes on hurting them. Acceptance and adaptation are different from approval. A coach who confuses the two ends up asking clients to lie to themselves. Second, the slogan turns into self-blame disguised as agency. What is in your control is a useful question. What did you do to create this is a different one. And clients hear the second when they were promised the first. They start carrying responsibility for things they did not cause, a market shift, a stakeholder's mood, someone else's poor preparation. They confuse responsibility for response with responsibility for cause. Third, outside my control gets generalized into nothing I can do. The neuroscience evidence on learned helplessness is decades deep, and it shows that when humans cannot directly change an outcome, we tend to stop trying to influence it, prepare for it, or even respond to it. That is not realism. It is a specific failure mode. The slogan, in other words, lets us off too easily in 2 directions at once. It puffs up over control and it shrinks legitimate response. What clients actually need is a more precise map, a more precise question. Replace one binary question, can I control this, with a smaller one repeated 5 times. What is useful, given how much real agency I have here? Useful does work the slogan cannot. It includes acting when you can, preparing when you cannot, and grieving when neither will help. It also makes room for the move most leaders need most, choosing, deliberately, to stop carrying something that was never theirs. That is the focus loop, 5 moves in order, repeated as the situation evolves. F for facts, all for outcomes and values, C for control zones, U for useful priority, S for step and review. None of the letters is new. The discipline of running them together, each time, is what keeps a leader's response calibrated to the actual conditions rather than to the loudest item on the list. F is for facts. Most leaders arrive with a tangle, facts, predictions, fears, mind reads, and moral judgments stacked on top of each other. The first move is to pull them apart. A fact is something you know. A story is something you are inferring. A fear is a prediction you have not yet tested. The sentence "they think I am underperforming" is rarely a fact. It is usually a prediction stitched together from 1 tense conversation, 2 skipped meetings, and a sentence you read into a Slack message at 11 p.m. Of everything you are carrying about this situation, which sentences could you defend in a meeting with the person involved? The rest is story. Story is allowed. It just does not get to set the agenda. Separating the layers does not eliminate fear. It stops fear from being treated as evidence. That alone tends to drop the temperature of the next 20 minutes. O is for outcomes and values. Once the facts are clean, the next question is not, what am I going to do, but what is this for? The right answer is rarely efficiency. A leader I coach in financial services kept choosing the most urgent item on his list and finishing the day having done nothing that mattered. We slowed it down. Before he picked an action, he had to name the value or responsibility it served. Protect a junior colleague, meet a regulatory commitment, keep a customer promise, build the capability he would need in 3 months. Half the items on his list could not survive that question. They got dropped, not because they were unimportant in the abstract, but because they were not serving any value he was actually willing to defend. Goals also get cleaner with this move. Specific is good. Specific and values aligned is better. Specific, values aligned, and matched to the right type of goal, performance, process, or learning is better still. A new and complex problem usually wants a learning goal rather than a target outcome, because outcome-only goals on novel tasks tend to narrow attention away from the very planning the task needs. C is for control zones, the heart of the loop. Most clients are working with two zones, in my control or not in my control. 5 is more honest, direct control, what only your behavior can move. The clarity of your recommendation, the first minute of the meeting, the boundary you set at 6 p.m., the skill you choose to practice this week, influence, what your behavior can affect but not guarantee, the decision a stakeholder makes, the mood of a team after a hard announcement, the relationship with a peer you have been avoiding for 3 weeks, preparation, what you cannot control but can ready yourself for, a scenario that is likely, a question you might be asked, the first 90 seconds of a meeting where someone might cry, acceptance and adaptation, what is true and not going to change inside the time frame that matters, a diagnosis, a restructure, a no. Acceptance is not approval. It is putting energy into a response that fits the world rather than the world you wish you had. Release and delegate. What is not yours to carry or not worth what it costs. Tasks that belong to someone else. Worries that are running on a loop without producing anything. Standards that no longer serve the role you are now in. The line that does the most coaching work is this: outside my direct control does not mean outside all useful response. Even when the outcome is fixed, you can usually still prepare, request, document, grieve, adapt, escalate, or seek support. I can't change it is not a sentence that retires you from acting. Outside my direct control does not mean outside all useful response. U is for useful priority. When everything feels urgent, the brain takes shortcuts. Research on prioritization under load is unflattering. We tend to overweight deadlines and underweight value, leverage, and risk. We sort by volume, not by usefulness. The loudest item wins. The U move resists that bias. For each candidate action, score it likely on 5 dimensions, none of which is how loud does this feel right now. Importance to a value or major goal. Degree of real control or genuine influence. Leverage. The size of the change a small action might produce. Time sensitivity, including the cost of delay, risk, ethics, or duty. Then note, but do not automatically subtract, the energy and emotional cost. A high leverage action you are afraid of is still high leverage. The fear is a separate problem, to be handled by a coping plan, not by demoting the action. Choose 3 things. 1 primary action. 1 support action. 1 thing to release, defer, or delegate. The release is doing real work. It is the part most leaders skip and the part that produces the most relief on the other side. S is for step and review. The last move is where insight becomes behavior. Most plans fail here, not because the priority was wrong, but because the step was too big and the cue was too vague. A useful next step is observable. Not work on the board paper, but spend 20 minutes writing the 1 paragraph recommendation. Not improve the relationship with Mike, but send a 4-line message asking for 15 minutes on Thursday. Not be more present at home this week, but put the phone in the kitchen drawer when I walk through the door tonight. Then anchor it to a cue and write the sentence in advance. The if-then format works because the brain stops having to decide each time. Something like, if it is 9 a.m. tomorrow and I have opened my laptop, then I will spend 20 minutes drafting the recommendation before I open email. If I notice myself spiraling about whether the board will like it, I will say, approval is not the task, clarity is the task, and continue for 5 more minutes. The review is what makes the loop a loop. Next time you sit down, look at what happened. Did the action go? What did it teach you about your real control map? Update. Run again. What it sounds like in a session. A senior manager came in last month with a staffing problem, a deadline, an underperforming peer, and a sense that her team had stopped trusting her judgment. 40 minutes earlier, she had been describing the whole pile in one breath. Now we were running the loop. Facts. 3 of those 4 items had real evidence. "The team has stopped trusting me" was a prediction built on two specific moments she could name. Outcomes. The value she was protecting was honest leadership of the team in a hard quarter. Not popularity. Not cleverness. Honest leadership. Control zone. The staffing decision was hers. The peers' behavior was influence. The deadline was preparation. The team's trust was a behavior she could change in 10 small ways across the week, not a verdict to wait for. Useful priority. The highest leverage action was a clear staffing decision by Friday. Everything else slid behind it. She left holding one decision and a credible plan. Not a tidier life, a more honest one. The 5-minute daily check. The loop does not need a session to run. Most clients I work with end up using a stripped version of it daily at the kitchen table or on the train in 5 minutes or fewer. The questions are deliberately plain. Plain questions survive bad mornings. What matters most today? What is in my direct control? What can I influence? What do I need to accept or adapt to? What is the next useful action? What one thing will I release, defer, or delegate? Once a week, run a longer version. 20 minutes, ideally on a Friday afternoon or a Sunday evening. Where did I overcontrol? Where did I underact? What did this week teach me about the actual shape of my control map? What needs updating? Most leaders find that the weekly review surfaces a recurring pattern they had been treating as 10 separate problems. What to watch for? Two boundaries. First, this is coaching, not therapy. The loop is appropriate for prioritizing, deciding, leading, and following through under pressure. It is not appropriate for trauma, panic, suicidal thinking, addiction, severe depression, or any state where daily functioning is impaired. Run the simple test. Is the issue interfering with your client's ability to do ordinary tasks? Is it escalate? Are they unsafe? If yes, refer. The strongest coaching ethics ask exactly this question. Second, do not individualize structural harm, discrimination, chronic under-resourcing, abusive systems, illegal demands. These are real, and the slogan "focus on what you can control" is most dangerous here, because it converts a public problem into a private mood management task. Use the loop to map what response is available to the person in front of you, including escalation, boundary setting, documentation, support, and exit. But name the system clearly. Not every uncomfortable feeling is a coaching problem. Some are appropriate responses to bad conditions. Calibrated agency means knowing where the loop helps and where it would be a small lie. Pick one situation that has been spinning in your head. Write 3 sentences, 1 fact, 1 story, 1 fear. Then run the 5 control zones in order and choose 1 primary action, 1 thing to release. Write the if-then sentence aloud. Do the action within 48 hours. On Friday, take 5 minutes to ask what your real control turned out to be and update your map for next week. A coach's last note. The slogan is not wrong. It is incomplete. Real agency under pressure is not the absence of difficulty, and it is not a private decision to stay positive. It is a more careful sentence, said again on Wednesday, again on Friday, and again next month. The leaders I respect most are not the ones who controlled the conditions. They are the ones who kept choosing the next useful response, even when the conditions did not improve. Outside my direct control does not mean outside all useful response. That sentence will do more for your leadership and your sleep than any number of harder ones. This has been a Boris the Coach article, When Everything Feels Urgent, The Focus Loop. The full article library is grounded in deep research into what actually works. You can find it at boristhecoach.com. To book a call with Boris, visit call.boristhecoach.com. Thank you for listening.